And he was showing me some examples. He was giving me some understanding. He said the difference between an orphan and a son is that an orphan is born by a man he does not know, but a son is born by a man he knows. Two of them are born, but one does not know his father, and the other one knows the father. An orphan, because he doesn't know the father, labors all his life, works all his life to gain acceptance and to inherit wages. But a son is already accepted and he inherits the father's estate. A son has inheritance, an orphan, because he has no understanding of inheritance, he works for acceptance. And I want you to listen carefully to what the Lord was showing me. He said, when he says, in the last days, I will turn the hearts of the children to the father and the hearts of the fathers to the children, is because Satan's most powerful strategy is to give us orphan hearts, independent heart away from God. Now, the difference between an orphan and a son is that a son has a father, and the orphan has a father he does not know. The difference between the church that is born again from the church that loves Jesus, that loves God, is this. They are born again, they are in church, but they only know God, but they don't know the Father God. A lot of believers, a lot of Christians, they know God because he saved them. But they are orphaned in heart because they don't know him as a father. He gave me further understanding so you know what God is doing. He says the difference between the church of Saul and the church of David is that Saul has a God, and the only time he seeks that God is for that God to provide for him or to save him from trouble. He only has a God that all he knows about that God is, when I'm in trouble, when I need something, that's it. So Saul, as a king, only knows the God that he runs to for trouble or he runs to for need. Saul was an orphan king. For 40 years, Saul only goes to Samuel or to the oracle that Israel had to always seek for solution of a problem or for a need. But David, after 40 years of Saul being king, because he's an orphan at heart, but he's a God of Israel, after 40 years of Saul serving God with a fatherless heart. God brought in David. God chose David. And God said of David, I have found me a man after my heart. And what God was saying was not saying that David had no need or David had no problem or will not have need or a problem. But what he was saying is that I have found me a man after my heart who will do my will. What does it mean that David was a man after God's heart? It means that Saul, as a child, an Israelite, all he sought after God for was my need, my problem, my requirements, my this, my that, the situation, the circumstance, the this, the that. But when God found a son, somebody that was after his heart, when God made him a king, the first thing he required was the glory of God, the heart of God. He says, I will not be king. I will not serve as king until the ark, the glory, the place where until God comes back and lead us. So, what's the difference between Saul and David? The church of Saul and the church of David. Another difference is this. Saul only prays, give me, give me, give me. Do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. But David only worships and worships and worships and worships and worships. That was his first prayer. He said in Psalms 27 verse 4, one thing I desire of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I will be in the presence of the Lord all the days of one thing. It doesn't mean that David doesn't ask for need when it is needed. But David's priority was God's heart, the presence of the Lord. And one way you seek God's heart is to worship. Because in worship, you don't mention needs. You don't mention problems. You worship the one who, when he comes, he solves problems. He takes care of needs. Saul sought the hands of God. But David sought the heart of God. The wholeness of God. God never comes to a place without hands. But God can come to a place with hands without his heart. Because they seek for me, but your heart is far from me. So the Lord says, when he rejected Saul, because Saul was a king, or one who was serving, all he was serving is God's hands, but his heart was not with God. So God says, I am going to bring a generation of people that the hearts of the father will be torn to the children, and the hearts of the children to the father, in David's generation. Two advantages reveals something about those who seek the heart of God. When you seek the heart of God through worship, you don't fight your battles. Because whenever God comes with his heart, his hand takes care of the problem. Here's an example. I just told you that worship is one of the only ways, because in worship, you are not mentioning any problem. You're not mentioning anything personal. You are glorifying God. So, God revealed a key to his heart. And that key to his heart, he gave it to David. And Jesus says, I have the key of David. Key opens and closes. God is saying, if you want to open my heart, use the key of David. How does the key of David work? It's very simple. It's worship. It's the key that opens the heart of God and brings his glory. Two examples that God used to reveal this key. I never knew it was a key. I never knew how it worked. That's what God is seeking for. A man had a big problem. How many of you know, when you have a problem, you don't have time to worship? When we have a problem, we cry out. We pray. We fast. We pray. We fast. We bind. We fast. We pray. And the prayer is, God, do this. God, God. That's prayer. There's nothing wrong with it. It's also a master key. Prayer brings God's hands. But worship brings God's heart. So, this king had a real problem. Bigger than him. So they were praying. The prayer didn't break through it. They were fasting. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke through one of the worshipers. And he said, God said, go with worship. And the name of this king is called Jehoshaphat. He had a lot of fortified armies coming against him. Guess what happened? You know, when we worship God, we think we're just having fellowship with God. Sometimes we think, it's a waste of time. But when you worship, you bring God's heart so much close to you that you relieve the angels to go do the job. When you don't worship, angels have to do it. And when your angels are busy, your problems don't go away. But when you release the angels, and you take the place of worship, angels start doing your work. So when they started worshiping, for he is good and his mercy endures forever, the angels took off and started dealing with all the problems. All the problems. Started dealing with it. They were like, they came to this place where the enemy was supposed to be, where this threat was, and all they found was blessings. They did not know that worship was a key that opens God's heart. And when you get God's heart, when God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? Who? When God is with you, He says all things are possible. The other example, to show you that when there is a problem, the heat of a problem, there's nothing wrong praying. There's nothing wrong fasting. We need to do that. All that are part of what Jesus taught us to do. But there are mysteries to prayer. But what God is saying, I want to turn my heart back to the church again. The church is like Saul. Their heart is more towards their own desires and too many other things. I want to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father and the heart of the Father back to the children. I want to break that orphan heart and cause us to come to the place to say, Abba, Father. The second example, to show you worship, praise is possible when you're going through a difficult time. Paul just got beaten, just got bruised, and got thrown in jail. These are New Testament and Old Testament examples that there is a key to the heart of God. He was so wounded and locked. Paul has discovered this key. Paul was a man of kingdom, dominion, and authority. Paul knew who he is in Christ. He knew that this time, there's no need binding and losing. There's time for that. It's not time to just be praying. It's just time to unlock God's heart in this place. I want the presence of my Father in this jail. And he just started worshiping. They prayed and they started worshiping in a very difficult time, in a very broken time, in a very frustrating time, in a very hard time. What did God do? When God's heart was open in a difficult moment, the angels were released because God found worship. And the place was shaken. God moved mightily. And that became a testimony that we read today about the life of Paul. Unceasing prayer can do wonders. Of course, prayer. But we want the heart of God back to us. And it's not easy to bring the heart of God back. It's very easy to live our lives so independent of God, but still use His hands. That's what happened to the church of Saul. That's what happened to the church in the wilderness. All they wanted was, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And when God is not giving them, I'm going back to Egypt. Moses dealt with that for 40 years. And God spoke to us in this season. I am turning the heart, the church of the heart of Saul, to the heart of David. I am moving my children from the church and the wilderness to the church of the promise. And it's not easy. Because when you are used to something for so long, you will think that's the right thing. Seeking, depending, living only for the hand of God is not right. If you are a parent, if you have a family member, and all your children do, they clearly show you that all they want from you is what you can do for them. They don't appreciate you. They don't tell you thank you. They don't show you, they don't tell you they love you. They don't show any sign they love you. Just like the prodigal son. How will you feel as a father. That's what the church of Saul and the church of wilderness, they did to Jesus, to God, 40 years. Saul did it 40 years. The children of Israel did it 40 years. So God is calling us back to a people who go after the heart of God. One thing we desire is Him, not just His hands. Say, Moses knew his ways. The people knew their hands. Let's turn back to the heart of God. And one way that will, one undefiled way, because prayer is key to God's heart. But one thing that you cannot defile that is definitely God's heart and takes you out of the picture is worship. The song says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's not about you. It's all about Him. And to summarize this, what the Lord was bringing to my spirit now, my brothers and sisters, when God finds a people who will make His heart a priority, that's the generation that will not be denied the miracles and the wonders and the signs. But then it's with God, not just God. It's with the Father. The greatest problem in this generation is fatherlessness. Every problem we're dealing with right now, from a president to the least, from the millionaire, the billionaire to the poorest, it's not the money. It's not. The culture of this generation is defined by fatherless generation. When you lose the love of a father, you just give birth to an orphan. And orphans is where we are in this generation. All these problems, the root is often heart. I can go deep into what the difference between an orphan, you'll be amazed. That is the root, and the Bible makes it very clear. That's why God says, before the last days, before everything closes, I will send the prophet Elijah, that anointing, to turn again the hearts of the father to the children. And in the natural, turn the hearts of the father to the children. Amen? Now, don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean that you can have a father. You can have a father in the house and still feel like you're an orphan. I'm not talking about people running the streets. I'm talking about wealthy people. I'm talking about great men. I'm talking about mayors and presidents. Some of them give birth to orphans. They have children, but their job, their position, everything they have is their God. And their children has been sacrificed as almost they don't exist. And I know the damage is done to the ones I know. They are in their father's house, but the hearts are not together. And that's why the story of the prodigal son, there's a longing for a father. I need to go back. All the problems there was the absence of that relationship. I need that now. So I want to encourage us as we stay in worship. Worship in the natural is a son, a daughter that showers appreciation to the parents. There was a man that said one day, when my son called me one day and said, Dad, I love you, He said he almost fainted. He's never heard his son say that before. You know, you don't tell your children to appreciate you. It has to come out of your heart. And when it comes out of your heart, it means the world to them. Worship cannot be imposed on us. It is the only thing from the depths of our heart that shows God we love him. And that's where God is calling us back to. Sons, daughters, whose hearts one thing, and then leave the rest to God. This just came from this moment of worship. The best message you can ever share is from the presence of God. So will you take a moment as we close? Let's together, let's take a moment, let's repent on behalf of the church, beginning with me. God, we forgive us. Father, forgive me. I've made you too small in my eyes because I always think that you can't. You don't know my problems. They are too big for you to take care of. So I cry out all the time. Father, all you want from me is to be your son. And you become a father. Forgive me, O God. Forgive us. Individual and as a church, as a people who have accepted a tradition passed down to us. But now you're turning things around. So Father, we come, we say, God, please turn our hearts back to you. You love us so much, you gave your son to die. Why will you not bless us? Why will you not do anything else for us? If you can give your son, you can give us anything. Forgive us for thinking you don't care about our needs. You just want our hearts. So today, Father, take our hearts back. Take our hearts back. Take our hearts back. Help us to be grateful children. We always think it's our right when we're children. Our parents have to do everything, do, and we don't take time to say, thank you. I know it's a right, but still, it costs something, and we need to be thankful. Father, even in the natural, teach our children to be grateful children. Teach us how to be grateful. And teach parents, oh God, how to love unconditionally, even when there's no gratitude. Help us to love and to love without conditions. So we'll be true fathers. Father, we thank you for what you've done. You did all this because we just showed you just a little love, and you're sharing your heart with us, and we are grateful. We are grateful. Please continue. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord was calling us to a life of worship on Sunday mornings, and we dedicated the whole month of April, Sundays. But as we're spending time with the Lord during this the daily times of waiting on the Lord. The Lord revealed something so deep. We spent enough time already, and God has spoken to us already. But the conclusion is, let's give God another month of worship. Amen. We're going to continue. Sundays, we're just going to go wait on the Lord in worship. We're going to do another month. The month of May, just like we did, we're just going to come and just no agenda. No agenda. For the whole month of April, I did not come here with a sermon prepared. I intentionally said, God, we're coming to worship you. But God did things in our midst. But God is bringing us to a breakout of miracles. People are experiencing God. The other day, is it not up where she texted me when the prophecy came that Jesus was in our midst? She saw. Her eyes was open and she saw. There are people that are worshiping God. They are seeing Jesus in this house. There are people having encounters already because somehow we are pleasing God and He's coming. So we are going to stay another month of Sunday worship, and every day we're going to continue the season of daily worship at the other place. Something is coming true. And I believe I have seen, tasted a little bit of it myself. The thing we're talking about, I've tasted a little bit of it. And we are truly in a new season. So let's go as a church of David into what made God love David and brought victory on every corner of his enemies. Amen? Amen? No agenda, God's agenda. And that's worship. I'm sure you've been blessed this morning. And I know this deposit will stay with you, even in your personal needs. Amen.